live at AsylumFantasySports.com and RSSportsRadio.com. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
Welcome to the Asylum. We're Fleer and Briggs, and it's nice to come in, be introed in with some good music. So drop us a line. It is keeper question. It is auction question time. Just all kinds of questions. Drop us a line, AsylumFootball@gmail.com or AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
If you want to tweet us just to tell us how much you like me and how much you can't stand Mr. Briggs, you can do that at Asylum Football. And for God's sake, get us to 2,000.
Yeah, whatever you do, just go at Asylum Football. Tweet us. If you hate us both, tweet us. If you like us both, which is rare, we haven't gotten one of them yet.
No, that hasn't happened. But there's got to be somebody like that out there, right?
Exactly. Yeah, somebody.
I think we need to come up with like Team Fleer and Team Brig T-shirts, like all the little girls did with that vampire movie. What was that thing called? You probably don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're talking about that thing was on just a year or so ago?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sort of out of the loop with that. There's all the vampires with the abs, and you're on one side or the other.
Oh, okay.
That's it. You don't have the name.
You're just No. What was it? It was
I can't remember. Maybe we're hoping to be joined by our good friend Scott Fish here soon. Yeah. Wait for him to call in. Maybe he knows.
And if you listen last season, we had the Sunday Inside Slant, which was a live show every Sunday morning, and we answered a bunch of questions from callers and tweeters and chat room people, and Scott Fish was a fixture on the last half hour of that show every Sunday. So you listen to Inside Slant, you'll know who Scott is.
Yeah, you'll be a friend of Scott, and somebody's on the line. I'm going to assume it's him. Scott, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. I've been meaning to come on and talk to you about your most recent shows. Almost put Fleer on an intervention, man. I tell you, not knowing who Rod Serling is?
I still don't know.
I agree. Well, you talk about out of the loop because I don't know some vampire gimmick teenagers.
First things first, Scott, the vampire movie with all the dreamy guys. What was that called?
Probably the Twilight series, I'm guessing.
Twilight. Yeah. But you didn't know what the Twilight Zone was.
I knew what the Twilight Zone was. I didn't know Ross Serling was a part of it.
Yeah, Rod Serling.
Yeah, him
won.
Too.
And I went down through the list of awards this man won in a period of like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, but it was all like 60 years ago.
It doesn't matter.
It does. It wasn't as hard to win them back.
I'm like half mad.
I think my connection's going out. Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. All right, can you hear us?
I can hear you now. Sorry about that.
Okay.
All right, so outside
this,
of the Rob Serling.
This flashes back to the Sunday Inside Slant.
It really does, and outside of that, where do you fall on Fallout Boy, Scott? Let's get it all out in the open right now. Did you hear that point?
I am okay with Fallout Boy, and I'm definitely okay with that song you're playing. That's I enjoy it. I do.
Well, you know, now I have two people I have no respect for.
So would you be comfortable saying, Scott, then, that Rick may have overreacted slightly when he ripped his headphones off his head and mouthed to me, screw it, I'm done, and started to get out of his chair and realized what an epic issue it is for him to get out of a chair and sat back down and finished the show?
You know, I think that might have been an overreaction, but it might have been frustration from some of the other things, like the fact that you don't realize that a three-year-old can turn a door handle. My son's 15 months old, and he can reach a door handle and tries to turn it.
Just because
he's... And also, you called all 7.5 billion people in the world that are not following you on Twitter jerks.
That's true, and I stand behind that, Scott. You could sway me on the doorknob thing, although I want to allow for the possibility that your child's just exceptional using a doorknob at 15 months. However, I stand behind all these non-followers.
You know, and I can't bring your child into it, but, I mean, you are, like, assuming you're basically telling the world that your kid didn't know how to use a doorknob at three.
Or I
disagree with you. I think you're lying because you didn't know how. So now you're just trying to say every kid doesn't know how.
I didn't say my kid can't do it. I'm saying I didn't notice. So that might be more of an indictment on my fathering skills, and that and the fact I'm not 100% certain that kid's mine still.
Then,
my wife doesn't listen to this show, Scott. Don't worry.
Unfortunately, the poor little devil looks a lot like you, so
a good-looking kid right there.
Yeah, she'll grow out of it, I'm sure, because she is a girl. But, you know, we're going to have to bring on Dave Cherney.
Because we have to?
Yeah, because I have to get someone on here that has some taste in music
and will
defend only sane one in this whole asylum
right
now.
So, i.e., you just want another old guy. It doesn't have to be Dave.
No, someone with taste.
How old is Dave? Is he old?
I don't know. I'm sure not.
He is. He's not Rick Briggs old, but, yeah, he's got a few whiskers.
He's Rick Briggs old.
He's a young, strapping buck. Yeah, that's what he is.
I bet he is. All right, why don't we talk some football? I don't know how much prep you got to do, Scott. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to hit some headlines. You can hop in anywhere you want, anywhere you see fit. And then in true asylum fashion, we are doing things that tick me off, fantasy football edition. So just anything that sticks in your craw going into the football season, we're going to hit that. So, Scott, what do you think of? We talked about we started recording our show for MTS Cable in Canada before we went on the air here, got a couple of segments of that knocked out. Talked about Terrell Pryor going to Seattle. What do you make of that? What's Seattle going to do with Terrell Pryor?
Use him as a practice dummy to prep for running quarterbacks, maybe like Colin Kaepernick, same size build. I don't think that he's going to get really much play. I think that's pretty much his best suit right now. But I mean, he's got potential. I mean, he's got the skill set, and if anyone can coach him up, it'd be Pete Carroll.
Yeah, and I mentioned we were talking about it. It seemed kind of interesting that San Francisco and Seattle both were interested in him, and they basically have young mobile quarterbacks. And, you know, I think Terrell Pryor in a pinch could fit into that offense for a few games in case injury bug happens to pop up.
Yeah, and he's probably a slightly better option than Tavares Jackson in that role as well.
Well, yeah, no question about that. That might be damning him with faint praise, however. Something we can get into a little bit. Let's start with this, Scott. Somebody else's opinion. We've gone on about it for 2 weeks. Chris, let's just start with Chris Johnson with the Jets. What are your thoughts on that in terms of his value and fantasy value overall?
You know, I'm still I think he's going to be one of those rotational flex pieces. Fantasy-wise, I'm kind of hoping he just folds into that, you know, 15-touch role. And he's not even as good a pass catcher as people make him out to be, and he's always been a big play boomer bust guy. I'm personally a guy that's – I'm just avoiding him unless he drops 6th, 7th round probably. And that might be where he's going. I haven't really done too many mocks yet. But, he's more of a rotational flex player for me right now.
And I think that's a perfect fit for him, right in the role of Danian Tomlinson had with the team. I just wonder if he's going to be drafted there. Is Brian keeps coming up saying it's no sure thing. However, you know, I think everyone knows what Chris Ivory is, and he's going to get the opportunity to get the number one reps. I just don't think he's going to perform as a number one guy.
Yeah, that is true. But, I mean – yeah, Michael Vick has been just great for – and I know Michael Vick doesn't roll out like he used to, but he has been great for running backs in the past, just being able to open up lanes a little bit for them. So I can see some pretty good value. I can't do it. I bit so hard on C.J. Spiller last year that a running back like that in a spot like that, I just
– Yeah, I'm not willing to really be jumping on him real high, but – I know, from a reception standpoint, you know, I mean, you got Mike Vick in there, and, of course, he used to play with LeSean McCoy. You know, Chris Johnson, he's been averaging probably about 45 receptions every year. And, I mean, you know, the guy is fairly competent when it comes to that. So PPR-wise, he may fit into a very low-end RB2, but I couldn't put him in any higher, to me, in my mind, is a flex spot fill-in.
You know, he has been pretty good with the 45 receptions, but receptions for running backs overall have jumped up into that 35, 45, even 60 route. And there's a lot of them now. So I don't even think of that as much of an advantage for him anymore. I mean, it's great. It's good that he has that. But even Adrian Peterson rounds out in the 29 to 35 range the last couple of years, and he doesn't catch many passes at all. I have high hopes for this year, but the 45 is nice, and he's a good pass catcher. He's okay pass catching back, but I'm not in love with I'm not going to fawn over Chris Johnson. If he falls to me, he falls to me, but that's pretty much where I sit.
To bring it up before we move on to anything else, this is a doing as I think I back this year, being close to the Vikings. What are your thoughts on Peterson?
I think this is going to be still another good year for Peterson. I think he's going to have a longer career than people are just predicting. You know, a huge downfall now that he's 28 years old. They're expecting that he's just going to decline over the next few years. I really don't see it. I know that this year we play outdoors, which sucks, but they did put in heating. They made the field heated at TCF Bank, so it's not going to be that cold cement. But he will have to deal with more of the elements. I think North Turner's offense has just turned out some great, amazing running back performances. I mean, he even made Ryan Matthews look fantasy viable. So, sorry, Rick. I know how much you love him.
He never was fantasy viable until more.
That's true, but he had very fantasy viable games. His problem was injury concerns.
I don't know. I've never been a North Turner fan. I see Philip Rivers now, the resurrection of him, and I tell you, it was nice to see North leave San Diego because they had some weapons there.
Oh, I've never been a huge North Turner fan, but the way they're talking up here is just that they're going to get Adrian into space, get him more catches, and if you get him into space with a head of steam, it's really tough to take him down.
Yeah, no question about it. I just wondered, this is the first year you've really seen him nicked up, and last year was, and you just wonder if all the beating he takes, all the touches he gets, starts to catch up with him. Rick, here's something I found interesting. I was perusing the tweeters, as I'm wont to do, as you know. I'm all over the Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
And see this tweet from Mr. Doug Baldwin, and I found it very interesting, and just something we can bat around a little bit. I don't know how much analysis you do of it. But he posts just this. It looks like out of a newspaper. It says, job description, 8 to 9 months, 70 hours a week. No sick days, no PTO. You're going to miss weddings, funerals, birthdays, and childbirths. Your body will be at risk during your time of work, and you will have residual / long-term health problems after you retire. And it could end any day. Would you take it? It's a bit of a political statement from a guy currently playing in the league and about to put on a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, and, would I take it? I think you have to ask yourself, what's the pay? Yeah, I mean,
I think he's implying NFL.
I know that, dummy, but that's the point.
Why I got to be a dummy?
Because you are.
All right, fair enough.
But that's the whole point. It's what you're getting. I mean, look, these guys have played football basically their whole lives, and it's not like they walked into the locker room and all of a sudden this world opens up to them and it starts. It's like, wow, I had no clue. Yes, you do. You're playing it for the money. You're playing it for the title. You're playing it for the notoriety. Of course you know what it is, and you make the choice if you're going to do that for the millions of dollars you're going to receive.
So no sympathy for NFL player.
Not a thing.
All right, Scott, be the voice of reason.
I don't have any sympathy either. I would take the millions. There's an old Muhammad Ali quote that I feel fits here, and I might butcher it. I'm going to try not to. It's something like, don't quit, suffer now, and live the rest of your life as a champion. And I would suffer through a couple of years of that kind of pain and torture and no sick days. And I think I would go to the childbirth. I know NFL players have done that before, but I think I would suffer through a few years of that to be a Super Bowl champion like he now is, and to take the millions of dollars. I think that'd be worth it. It's 3-4 years out of your life.
And I think we've seen way more than one occasion where some of these players have, left practice or missing from the team due to personal reasons. I don't think that it's that unreasonable. Maybe the Super Bowl gets a little cramped, you'll cramp your style, something that would happen. But, like Scott says, I mean, a lot of times they're taking time off and they've gone to the birth of their children, be it they leave a game and they fly there and the child's born and they're back on Tuesday or Wednesday.
I agree. You know what?
But
Doug Baldwin is out there risking life and limb. She can bear down and hold on to that thing until the game's over. I will agree with that. So hold on.
That wasn't the point.
Oh,
they do actually leave is the point.
I will say this. None of us have ever really been in that position. So, I mean, at least he has the backing to say that. He has every right to say that. And I'm sure there's NFL players that completely disagree with him as well. I'm sure some agree and some disagree. But I'll let him have that belief. Personally, I'll take that job. I'll play defensive back for my Vikings and run around and miss tackles. I'm fine with that.
You could probably be the starting nickelback for the Vikings, too. Have you considered it, Scott?
I have not. I'm a little big for that. I'm about 6'3", 220. I suppose defensive backs are getting bigger these days. Maybe I could. I run about a 25-second 40, though, so that might be a problem.
Well, you can get the angle on the receiver. I'm sure you can get him.
Well, I'd give it my best and take the money.
Yeah, the one thing I think about, this isn't the first time Doug Baldwin stopped watching. He had a series of tweets not too long before that where, basically this guy's miserable, and I don't know why he's putting himself through it. He feels like he's being exploited by the league, and to a certain degree, a lot of that's true, but they are so well paid, and I think it's just all about the money. Interesting to see how the league handles this. If they try to censor a guy, if they do it, what the union's take on all this is. It's an interesting thing to see a guy currently playing and with all the bad, reaping all the benefits of.
And wasn't he also the one when a little criticism came his way, flaunted to Chris Carter that he has a Super Bowl ring and Chris Carter doesn't?
That was Doug Baldwin, was.
Yeah.
I think I like Doug Baldwin. I think I'm a fan of Doug Baldwin all of a sudden. All right, Rick, let's move on. This is enough. There's a lot of things that ticked me off getting ready for the fantasy football season. A lot of things that have happened that haven't happened, the things that have happened in the past historically that just annoy me. And if you remember early on when we started this show, and I actually wrote for the website, remember that years ago, and I'd write a story every now and again, and it was entitled Why I Hate Fantasy Football. And I was thinking about that getting ready for this show and having to spend now 3.5-4 hours across from you getting ready and just annoyed. And so I thought about things that tick me off playing football, Rick. So I'll let – you know what? No, I'm going to start it. The number one thing right now that ticks me off, Fantasy Football Edition, is Maurice Jones-Drew signing with the Raiders. Here's a guy – you take Darren McFadden, there's always a question mark, but he's a guy you want to take that risk on as a starting fantasy running back. Maurice Jones-Drew, quite similar. He's a low-end to a high-end three guy. You put together, in my opinion – talked about this in Fact or Fiction on the previous show we were recording. I think you make them ostensibly useless for your fantasy football team, and it ticks me off, Rick.
Yeah, it does, because we talked about that before. Maurice Jones-Drew, if nothing else, was always someone you could throw into your lineup, because other than that one year we had the Liz Frank, he's a dependable running back. Won the rushing title, 2-3 years ago, and he's been that. I would like to see him go to a team that was pretty decent.
Right.
It would have been nice to see him run behind a very good line that had a passing game as well, just to see what he could actually really accomplish. But, yeah, point taken from what you said, because McFadden and MJD, I am staying away from in my draft.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you guys. I find it hard to hate that just because it basically takes two people off my draft board that I'm not going to draft. I did like Maurice Jones-Drew the couple of years he was good, the few years he was really good, but I haven't drafted him in 2 years just because injury concerns and the holdout year and, you know, Liz Frank, and I never draft Darren McChickenlegs. He's an injury waiting to happen. I don't even know if you get 16 complete games out of those two players over the next 3 years. I have a question for you on that, though. If Maurice Jones-Drew signed with the Jets and Chris Johnson with the Raiders, would you have this feeling towards Chris Johnson? Or is it and would you love MJD? Or is it an MJD and Darren McFadden thing?
I think it's the situation. To answer the first question first, here's my fear. You talk about McChickenlegs and the injury concerns. Bringing in a viable running back, a Maurice Jones-Drew, or even extend it to a Chris Johnson, it might increase the chances that he doesn't spend half the season on the injury list. But it cuts into his carries to the point he never emerges into the player he should be and physically and athletically can be. Similarly, with whoever they bring in with a healthy Darren McFadden, you're looking at best a 50-50 split, a 60-40 one way or the other. I think whoever they bring in, assuming, and it might be a big assumption, bringing in somebody to take 40 or 50% of that workload keeps Darren McFadden healthy. He's such a dynamic athlete, you have to try and get him on the field. And I think that's what hurts both guys' values there.
Yeah, and even if it was like, it's not, we're not talking about the Broncos either. We're talking about a team that has trouble even putting up 20 points. I mean, and they get behind, they have to pass. How many points are we really looking at? Even if like you said, it's probably going to be a lot of a split. I think it really destroys both of their values in an offense that doesn't score a ton.
Yeah, I agree. So that's and I think it works the same way with Chris Johnson as well. I mean, Chris Johnson certainly isn't CJ2K any longer, but I think he's in the same boat if he'd have gone to Oakland, because it's probably a 40-60 or 60-40, however you want to look at it, split.
Now, Scott, second question, would I have loved MJD in New York? Loved, no, but I think I'd have valued him more than I value Chris Johnson going into there. I really do. I think
– I completely agree.
I still don't know. Maybe it's probably still a high-end three for me. Maybe you slip him into a low-end two, depending on how things fall. But I think he's more set up to be an every down back than Chris Johnson is at this point in his career. My biggest fear with Chris Johnson, I think he's lost a step. What set him apart was that speed. He always danced behind the line. He always took a lot of rushes for loss, similar like a low rent Barry Sanders. He was never Barry Sanders except maybe the 2,000-yard year, but then he would eventually bust one off. Chris Johnson, I don't think he has that speed anymore. I don't know where it went, but I think it's gone.
Well, if those recent reports are he denied them, but if they were true that he's dealing with arthritis in his hip, that could be a little bit of an explanation. But you know, he denied it, and I gotta take his word at that, I guess.
Well, I feel just about any player is going to have arthritis in joints, and the pounding that they take, and I think the severity of it is. Yeah, I guess it's always up to debate. Only he knows how he feels. But, you know, we made the point last year. This is the first time I ever saw him get caught from behind. So, I mean, it's obvious he's not as fast as he used to be.
Yeah, I can't say that. I watched a lot of Tennessee games last year. I wish I could be an expert on Chris Johnson tape, but I'm willing to believe it.
All right, Rick, let's move on from that. Now, we know you're perpetually angry. What ticks you off? But let's limit it to fantasy football. You can't use me. What ticks you off?
One thing that ticks me off is the forecasting of this year, whatever year it may be, is the breakout year for C.J. Spiller. And Fred Jackson not go away.
That's true.
Fred Jackson has run more running backs out of town in Buffalo than probably any other running back. Nobody can supplant him. And I think only Father Time is going to be the guy to beat out Fred Jackson. And I don't know if this year's it. Their workloads haven't been that heavy. And I think you're just going to see a lot of the same. And these people that say, well, C.J. Spiller, last year, you know yourself, we were talking. He was a top 6-8 running back in a lot of the different things. We weren't buying. We took a lot of heat for it.
We got eviscerated.
Yeah, we weren't buying into it, and he's not. And I still don't think he is.
I agree. While Fred Jackson's in town, he's going to cut into that workload. C.J. Spiller, I don't think even if Fred Jackson was gone, he's not an every down back. Coincidentally, Rick, number two on my list that I wrote them down was the Buffalo running back situation ticks me off. Because there's going to be games where it makes me mad. Because if I have C.J. Spiller, which I'm not going to because I'm not going to pay that first two or three round price it's going to cost me, the first round price last year. But there's going to be two or three games, and he'll probably string them together, where I'm going to be really ticked that I didn't draft C.J. Spiller. And then if I have C.J. Spiller, there's going to be the other 12 games where I'm going to be really ticked that I have C.J. Spiller. So either way, I'm perpetually angry. And I agree. I want no part of the Buffalo running back situation.
So you don't want any part of the Buffalo Bills running back situation or the Oakland Raiders. And there's clearly a few others out there. Do you think that whoever the Tennessee Titans draft, because all they have is Sean Green, do you think you would take him over any of those players, even though MJD and Darren McFadden and Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, they've all had huge games. They've all proven themselves to some level. Would you take that rookie that they draft over those guys?
Oh, well, as you start introducing logic into it, Scott, this gets awfully complicated. I would probably
I was going to say, we can go back I was just thinking of that, looking at some depth charts. We can go back to stuff we hate about.
I'm not so sure that a rookie going in there is going to garner enough work away from Sean Green. Look, they're paying this guy a little over $3 million. You're not just going to have him sitting on the bench. And I think the reason Chris Johnson got so many carries last year is because Green was hurt most of the year. I think they brought him in to use. I mean, he was over 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards a couple years ago with a really crummy Jets team.
I know this is really poor logic, but in a vacuum, every year there's several rookie running backs that have good years. And I just don't see a whole lot of situations other than Tennessee where that happens. I mean, last year we had Gio Bernard and Eddie Lacy and Le'Veon Bell and Zach Stacy. It feels like Tennessee is the one situation that a rookie can come in and be one of those, and all of those guys landed in the top 24 in PPR last year. So that's what spawned my question. But you're right. I know it's risk-reward. I think there's just a little more safety in that Titans rookie than there is in C.J. Spiller playing three awesome games and having 13 where you're just upset that you started him or you drafted him.
You're right. And the problem comes in with C.J. Spiller. I have a feeling, and like you, I haven't done a lot of mocks yet, and I don't really trust the results of any mock I'm doing now anyhow, is the price tag I'm going to pay for C.J. Spiller. Fred Jackson, I would be more than happy to have roll in a flex spot most, if not all, of the year. I'm going to get him late still, year after year. This guy you're getting in the eighth and ninth round, he just continues to fall, based on C.J. Spiller's potential. So, if I had to rank him, it might be Fred Jackson, unnamed Titans rookie, probably then C.J. Spiller. And I really, logically or illogically, if I can get MJD late, and assume McFadden goes down, I'd be happy to have him, even for the goal line work, for some bye week work and things like that. But, yeah, I think Fred Jackson's probably the most viable there, not knowing what the Tennessee situation is going to be. And, look, Rick, I'm no fan of Sean Green. I know you've always been higher on than I am. I think he may get first crack at the club.
I'm not super high on Sean Green. Fact. Sounds like it has it on there, Scott. Are you going to make it there?
Yeah, I think so. My mic's having a little issues, but yeah, I think I'll make it okay. If you're asking me about Fred Jackson, he's being mocked right now in the 15th round. And Chris Johnson's going a full, you know, 4 or 5 rounds higher, I think.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, if Fred Jackson's going to 15th, you know Chris Johnson's going, oh, yeah, minimal. Oh, yeah. Man.
It looks like late ninth round is where Chris Johnson's going, and Fred Jackson's going in the 15th.
I'll tell you what, I'd be more than comfortable with Fred Jackson in that spot. I'd be comfortable with Chris Johnson in the late ninth, early 10th. I think that's a pretty good place for him, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. You probably have at least 2, if not 3, running backs ahead of him at that point.
Right, and if he ends up busting out, it's a bonus. If not, he'd be a nice bye week replacement, a la LaDainian Tomlinson when he's in that role. All right, Scott, I know you are on this show to be the ray of sunshine. You're the bright spot, and you're perpetually a happy guy, but there's got to be something that ticks you off out there.
Well, what doesn't tick me off? No, I'm usually pretty happy, but I'm pretty upset right now that the NFL draft is delayed 2 weeks, so I can't figure out where these rookies are going, because I can't make trades in my dynasty leagues. I can, but I don't know how it's going to be affected by the NFL draft. That's fairly annoying to me, but I won't talk about the NFL draft too much, because I know Rick Fleer absolutely hates that event. But I think my some of my biggest pet peeves are not knowing how to properly value guys like Ray Rice and Justin Blackmon that I know have stud potential, but I just don't know what their situation is going to be. That's really frustrating, these guys getting in trouble, and then it puts me in the lurch. And you know it's not going to be resolved until August, until late August at the best.
Yeah, no question about it. I'll tell you what, one on my list, I didn't write it as eloquently as you spoke it, but one thing that ticks me off is, and I quote, Justin Blackmon is a moron. This kid, and when he's not in prison, and he loves to go to prison, when he's not there, he's a top 10 wide receiver. The numbers, and that's on a terrible, terrible offense. And this kid just can't stay out of trouble. He frustrates me, and I want to draft him late. But now I don't know if he's going to play. How many strikes is he going to get before Lord Goodell just completely shuts him out? Same with Ray Rice. You have the concerns, number one, with his health and with him breaking down and that awful performance last year, and then that slapstick video of him dragging his poor wife unconscious out of an elevator. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't think you're ever going to get a fair ADP on them. They're going to be way overdrafted. They're going to be way underdrafted, and somebody's going to get a steal at the end of a draft, probably with one of these guys. And historically, it's not me, and that's what irritates me about that, Rick.
Well, there's a lot of things that really irritate you.
You're right.
I mean, it's you know what really irritates me?
What's that?
It really irritates me, the, I don't know, the Johnny Manziel circus and Blake Bortles, okay? I think, to me, if I'm a team a la Jacksonville, somebody like that, that's in desperate need of a good quarterback, do you go with a 5'11 quarterback that talks the talk? I'm not sure that he could translate into with his size and everything, because he's not a pocket passer like a Drew Brees. Or do you want a guy that's 6'5", 230-some pounds, good arm, pretty good head and the shoulders? I mean, just right off the cuff.
Not knowing who's who?
Yeah. I mean, are you as high on Manziel as everybody else is?
I don't care. I don't care until he gets into camp somewhere and see how it works. This might be more of a question for Scott.
Scott, I mean, I at least
I'm not as high on Manziel as most people, but he does some special things. And you mentioned how he is in the pocket. He's actually not he's pretty accurate quarterback. He's not as bad in the pocket as you might think. But
no, it's not bad.
He
has a tendency to take off. I mean, he does have those happy feet. He likes to make plays. And hey, that does translate into a shortened career, a la Mike Vick or whoever you want to, you know, put into that category.
Yep, and the fact that he chooses to run so quickly, so often, and he did improve this in his last year, but he is deadly accurate. I mean, off the charts accurate outside when he's on the run. I mean, well, in comparison to most people on the run, I would say. I think you're right. I think I'd rather take Blake Bortles with his size and be able to somewhat develop him. But honestly, I don't think I'd take a quarterback in the first round this year. I don't see a franchise guy, and I think it needs to be a franchise guy. There are so many playmakers at other positions, non-skill positions, and definitely wide receiver, that it's just not worth it. I'd much rather take a risk on those guys' upside in the second and later.
Yeah, I agree there. It's not a quarterback-rich class this year, and yet there's still a lot of people that have, you know, different orders. I've seen a bunch of different mock drafts, you know, Bortles, Manziel, you know, third, fourth, those kind of picks. And I tell you what, I think if you're a team that uses your first round pick on one of these guys, I think you fall on a pick behind the rest of the league.
Yep, I completely agree, especially because you know that it's the teams that need quarterbacks are at the top of the draft, so they're not just spending a first round pick, they're spending a high first round pick where they can get a special playmaker from a different position.
You're one of these draft guys, right, Scott?
I am. I'm sorry, Rick, but I am.
Right, but I got to quit. This is really bothering me. I'm a suffering Pitt fan, as I'm sure you know if you've listened to the show a few times. And I watched Tom Savage.
I think you've mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah, I watched Tom Savage all year. Can you explain to me the sudden infatuation with Tom Savage? He is in every stinking headline about this godforsaken draft. He is awful. Where is this coming from? What happened?
You know, I think it's his skill set and his mechanics. But I think that he's one of those quarterbacks that has all the right tools, and he responds to pressure well, but he's not. I don't think he's NFL caliber. I think he's NFL caliber backup more likely, and maybe you can groom him into a starter, but I don't get it either. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day. He doesn't have him in the top 10. Shane Hallam barely has him scratching the edge of the top 10 rookie quarterbacks. I mean, we're not talking top 10 potential NFL. We're talking top 10 of the rookie quarterbacks. Barely has him scratching the top 10, and I'll trust Shane on that. Shane Hallam knows his stuff.
Yeah, no question about it. But this is just – it's a guy I never even considered in sitting watching him all season. Never even considered him an NFL prospect. And then all of a sudden I read he gets invited to New York. Fortunately, probably for him and everybody else, he turned it down. But the Bleacher Report's claiming they don't think he's going to make the second round. That's stunning to me. I guess when you look at it, it's someone who follows this. I have tangible wins and tangible big plays from a guy like Manziel who we have questions on. And you say Tom Savage has all the mechanics down and maybe looks more like an NFL quarterback. Aren't you going to value the guy who's a winner? I watched Tom Savage struggle against some trifling teams in the ACC, especially the awful. You know, I watched him struggle Mexico early in the year. Are mechanics that much of a factor that it would put you even in the same conversation? The story I'm reading right now that mentioned him right along with Teddy Bridgewater. Are mechanics that important? Do you think you can develop a guy into a winner if the mechanics are there?
I think some coaches think they can. I think some scouts think they can. I'm not a Savage guy, so I'm more with you than trying to explain. I can tell you that this month of the year, there's so much smoke out there that I don't know how much of all this Tom Savage hype I believe, but coming out of high school, he was just a crazy awesome prospect. And he's had some years through his, you know, 14 years of college and his 12 teams he's been on, that he's looked pretty dang good. But I don't even have him in the conversation with Menzel or Bortles or Bridgewater. Bridgewater's had just a horrible offseason, but I think he's the most close to a franchise quarterback of the bunch personally. But, no, I don't have him in that conversation, so I have trouble understanding why other people do.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Rick's point, you know, with Bridgewater, he had a horrible camp and so forth. But, you know, he also had a college career where he's pretty successful and made a lot of big plays and led his team to a lot of good wins. Yeah, Savage. I mean, Pitt has just been abysmal football-wise, and they just never can come up with a clutch win. Ever, it seems like.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Unless you play Notre Dame, because that's what they do. But
yeah.
Enough Tom Savage, Rick. Let's get back to something that ticks me off. And you knew it was coming. I know you're prepared for this. So you probably have a canned speech ready for this one. Rick, what ticks me off, Ryan Matthews finally breaks through in 2013, and the Chargers run out and sign Donald Brown, just to complicate even more. My God. I know Don Brown isn't a starting guy. Nice balance with Danny Woodhead. And you bring a viable NFL running back in to make a further mess of my boy Ryan Matthews, who was two steps away from Adrian Peterson going into this year. It was Ryan Matthews' time. He was finally going to replace LaDainian Tomlinson, as he was to do. And there's Donald Brown muddy in the waters. And I'm pissed, Greg. I can't say ticked anymore. I'm pissed.
Well, you have – okay, Ryan Matthews in your mind. I mean, you have mad man love
yeah.
Ryan Matthews.
Yeah.
Because he's up there. He's right next to Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, et cetera, correct?
In my fandom, yes.
Okay.
And right above your children, but, I bet, too.
Right. Yeah. Right in line, anyhow.
But Donald Brown – repeat, Donald Brown
right. Is
going to screw up Ryan Matthews' success. So now, does this translate into, like, me and Scott and probably, oh, I don't know, probably 200-300 million other people.
Okay.
Doesn't see the stellar status that Ryan Matthews really is. Or, no, actually not so much Ryan Matthews, but Donald Brown. I didn't know he was that good.
No, here's what
I'm
saying.
He can come in and take away the next Adrian Peterson's workload because he is that viable of a running back. And Ryan Matthews and these coaches are actually
the man holding Ryan Matthews down. That's what it is.
The coaches are doing it on purpose.
I agree.
That's what it is.
It's a shot at me, is what it is. You know, as you know, the San Diego coaching staff, big fans of the show, and they're doing this just to ruin my fantasy season because I will draft this man a round and a half earlier than he's supposed to be drafted. Look, all kidding aside,
and I'll take Danny Woodhead in the 10th.
Right. All kidding aside, Ryan Matthews broke out last year.
Yes.
Never going to be
a
top 10 guy. He's not going to be that guy. He became a legitimate number two. Donald Brown isn't going to go in and supplant most guy. But you're already splitting a workload with Danny Woodhead. You're not bringing Donald Brown in to play special teams. You know, are you assuming Matthews is going to get hurt and that's all Brown's there for? I just have concerns that he starts to cut in that workload and you see Ryan Matthews fall back down into obscurity, and it hurts me personally, Rick. Scott, bail me out here. It hurts me personally.
Well, I do feel bad because I personally called Tom Telesco earlier this year and asked him to bring in a running back just to piss you off.
I knew something.
I actually have a very different take on it than you guys. I'm kind of happy about that. My take is that he was brought in to be a better version of the Ronnie Brown 50 to 75 touch role. I think all he's going to do is maybe allow you to get Ryan Matthews around later than you would have otherwise. I really don't see Donald Brown, as Briggs so eloquently put it. I don't see him being any, I don't even see him getting 100 touches. I think he's going to get you 40 to 50 rushing attempts and, you know, 10 to 20 receptions. I think that's his role this year. I think Ryan Matthews is safe, my friend.
Yeah, in all seriousness, I agree. I think it's just – I think it's a good move to add depth. You know, between Danny Woodhead and Ryan Matthews last year, they had, I believe it was like 395 carries. And, you know, Danny Woodhead only had 106 of those. So, I mean, Ryan Matthews had plenty of work. And if Donald Brown's there as a Ronnie Brown, I think you're more than safe with your hero.
You guys made me feel better.
I really
that.
Do.
Thank
I
mean, you. Mainly
and
Scott.
I think Ryan Matthews will stay in on the goal line more. I don't see – Danny Woodhead had, what, two games with, like, three touchdowns? I don't see that happening again. Probably not. I think you're getting ready to see Matthews have an even better year. If I was a betting man, I would bet for Matthews to have a slightly better year than last.
Yeah, I mean, Woodhead had eight touchdowns last year, but only two of them were rushing. I mean, Ryan Matthews is your guy.
Oh, he's my guy.
I mean, you know, of course, he did have the 76 receptions and the six touchdowns there and the 600 yards. Danny Woodhead's role is not changing much, I don't think.
And I don't think,
I think you're going to look about the same.
And Ryan Matthews benefited from Danny Woodhead.
I agree 100%. So I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I'm still no fan of Donald Brown, but we'll move on, Rick. What
your love for Ryan Matthews, how about that?
Hey, it's going to work out for me one of these days.
Anyone threatens Ryan Matthews and Fleeger gets in arms.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you one thing that that kind of ruffles me a little bit is I see a lot of these tweets about Phillip Rivers, you know, being an interception machine and he's going to be back to where he was. You know, Phillip Rivers under Norv regressed. I mean, last year he just exploded right back onto the scene. And, you know, I had a little segment we were going to talk about, and we may get into in the bonus hour just slightly. But if you look at that class of 04, you have Eli Manning, Big Ben, Phillip Rivers, and Matt Schaub. Eli's thrown 171 picks. Ben's thrown 122. Phillip Rivers only has 104 interceptions. And they're all three in their 11th year. Yeah, Phillip Rivers is over a 4,000 yard passer every year. I mean, you know, you can bank on it this year. There's no doubt with that running game with Ryan Matthews.
And
Danny Woodhead. No, and Keenan Allen. I mean, he's got some weapons around him. I think they've opened up that offense. I tell you what, this guy is top five fantasy quarterback.
Top five.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Oh, Scott, let him have it.
Top five is, I guess, generous would be the nicest way to say you're crazy, maybe.
he was scoring.
Someone forgot to take their senility pills this morning. Ryan Matthews,
fantasy scoring last year, ladies and gentlemen. Okay,
what
I realize
fantasy scoring?
Third.
Wow. He apparently had a good year. I should check his schedule to see how tough it is this year, but I don't see top five, even though I love Ladarius Green. I absolutely love him, and I feel like they're going to get another wide receiver. You pair Keenan Allen with another wide receiver, Ladarius Green, Gates, you got Woodhead catching passes, Matthews catching passes. I can see an excellent year. There's no question, but top five, that is bold with Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be healthy this year. So you can plop him right back in that top five immediately.
Right. He's there. Peyton Manning's there. I'm going to say Drew Brees is there. All right. I'm not so sure Brady is.
Stafford, I think I have.
Stafford,
I have
very possible. There's four. I can throw Rivers in there, and there's not a whole lot of guys you can really make a huge convincing argument is going to beat him.
Tony Romo.
You know, the way Bulls played in the last 11, 12 games, and the way they're just throwing wide receivers and tight ends. Dwayne Allen's going to be healthy. I'm talking about Andrew Luck here. They just got Hakeem Nicks. I can see Luck and Foles just being dominant. And you got to remember Robert Griffin III also got a healthy Pierre Garçon, well, for now, and he just got DeSean Jackson. I think there's going to be a lot of competition for that spot this year. I think a lot of things broke Phillip Rivers' way last year.
We shall see.
In other words, Briggs, you're an old fool. So yeah. Moving on, Scott. Anything
I think we
else?
We need some kind of bet on this or something. Some kind of bar wager.
What am I willing to? Oh, did I tell you that we do have a bet with Zach Law?
We do.
With the Pittsburgh Tennessee game.
Are they playing again this year?
Yeah.
Why do they play every
loser
year?
Is drinking warm icy light with mango.
They make icy light with mango?
I don't know.
Or do we have to put the mango
I
in?
I think, yeah. I don't think they make it with mango. I don't know.
That's
I don't drink
gay.
It. Gay.
Why would you make that bet?
Because that's the whole point.
Oh.
Duh.
I got you. Hey, we just get a tweet from our buddy Jim Struble. We must be listening in. He says that Matthews and Woodhead are in contract years. Brown signed for a few years, so San Diego signed him as security if Matthews and Woodhead bolt. Good possibility, I suppose.
There you go.
I hope Matthews does bolt. He's getting disrespected in San Diego, and I hope he goes somewhere where he'll be appreciated.
Oh, yeah, right. Disrespect. They put up with him gimping around for 5 years. They ought to get his money's worth
just
out of him.
Watch your tone there, old man. All right,
yeah.
Scott, what ticks you off?
Oh, man, I kind of forgot to look into something else that ticks me off. I should have probably been thinking about that, huh?
I'll jump in with another one because I'm perpetually ticked off. Rick, you know what really bugs me? And we talked about this a little bit when we come up with the idea for this segment. Here we are how many years later, and the Carolina Panthers are going into yet another season with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart and now Mike Tolbert in their backfield. When are they going to give up on this?
You know, I understand what you're saying, but I almost have a different question, and it's almost too late now. When are you going to start using these people?
Better question. You're right. D'Angelo Williams, 2009, had a huge year. Or was it 2008? And he sort of regressed in 9,
I think.
Yeah,
something like that. But
so you know D'Angelo Williams could do it. Now, granted, that's 4 or 5 years ago. Jonathan Stewart, stop talking to me about Jonathan Stewart.
Right.
Everybody, all of you, every year. He's going to supplant it. This guy is going to get hurt tying his shoes, his shoulder pads on. He's going to get hurt.
And, yeah.
Stop with Jonathan Stewart.
And right,
already. Hand
off to Mike Tolbert on the two. He'll
That's
get
fine.
You in the end zone. But
and then you're not going to see him again until you're on the two again.
Exactly.
He's gone.
And by the way, let's get rid of all your wide receivers.
Well, yeah, you don't need any
to
of those.
Make sure that Cam Newton has no chemistry with any of them.
Right. It's a great plan, but I don't understand what they're doing. This team won a division last year. They had a bye, if I'm not mistaken, right, Rick? They had a bye going into the playoffs.
Right, yeah.
Let all those receivers go. What's Cam Newton going to do now? Well, he didn't have any wide receivers last year, technically, but now you got all new guys. You take Steve Smith out of the mix. Bring in a feature back. Use him. Use him a little bit. You hear all these injury concerns about Cam Newton. Get him some help. Get somebody around him. But most of all, stop with the Jonathan Stewart. I'm done. I can't take it anymore.
I agree 100%. This is a team that, you know, had just a screaming defense last year and really lacked some offensive punch, but still had, you know, like you said, a bye in the playoffs and so forth. And, you know, very competitive team. Now Steve Smith, who I understand, he's tipping over the hill, I would say. Brandon LaFell, I looked a couple years ago maybe for him to break out a little bit. He never seems to really have broken out. But now you have Jericho Cautry and Jason Avant, who is basically your one and two. And you might have Underwood and some, but they haven't played together. We had this on the show a couple weeks ago. I forget when it was. But Cautry and Avant have never been in a situation where either one of them have really taken the top coverage.
No.
You know, Avant's always been with Deshaun Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, and he basically floated around.
Back to Terrell Owens. Wasn't he there when T.O.
Right.
was there?
Jericho Cautry, same way. He had a little more prominence in New York, but, you know, I'm not sure that these are the guys, but they're going to have to be. Scott?
I'm surprised to hear you talking bad about your boy Jericho Cautry there. No, I'm completely with you. I'm fairly certain if I don't get that job with the Vikings defensive backfield, I'm going to go sign up for wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. I do have the build for that, just not the speed. I'm with you on Jonathan Stewart. People need to shut up about him. I loved him for years. I coming out of Oregon, I thought he was going to be just the next you know, big time NFL back. And he's 27 years old, but he's been in the league I think about 20 years by now. It feels like, because he came out really young, and he's been injured every year. I think they're just going to let those two mistake contracts go. They're just going to let them, you know, run their course, and then they're going to rebuild. I know that they were, you know, a playoff team last year, but I can't imagine they're walking into this draft and this season thinking, yeah, we can compete with Atlanta and we can compete with the Saints. I can't imagine they're thinking that this year.
Yeah, it's just a frustrating team offensively, especially from a fantasy perspective.
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, though, you know, I think about the only bright spot I see is I see Greg Olsen moving up fantasy-wise tight end because he is about the only solid stalwart performer that Cam Newton can really count on right now.
Cam Newton's a guy I think drops out of that top five this year. Even though he's done it with nobody in the past, they've given him way too little to deal with this year. So I'm with you. I think Greg Olsen's really the only possible bright fantasy spot. And even there, I like a lot of tight ends just as well.
Yeah, I think he falls in the seven guys' name. He's probably at the top of the seven guys' name Stan list, but I think he's in that list. Well, somehow, Rick, we killed an hour here already. So, Scott, great to have you on. Great to talk to you again ahead of getting ready for the Blitz coming up in the fall. Why don't you tell everybody what you're up to these days?
I recently closed down my site. It was pretty sad for me, but we didn't have anyone to keep it running, and I couldn't commit that kind of time anymore. So I'm no longer running FF Oasis. I am senior developer / senior writer at DynastyLeagueFootball.com right now. I haven't really done any writing yet. I'm kind of just working behind the scenes on some web development stuff. They got some awesome stuff coming forward. And other than that, you can just find me on Twitter at ScottFish24. I am a huge fan of your super silly, fun time, nonsensical bonus hour donut plus thing you got going. That is the best hour of my week.
Yeah, it's ours too. It's our time to, you know, be us. Those are the cretins we really are. Those are the human beings. I know it slips through on this show, but unfortunately, and probably scarily for most people, this is us at our best behavior.
You know, I wish you had the chat room open for that, because I want to comment on so many things you talk about. Like, do you really want to go to, what was that, GreenBayPackerLovers.com and it's full of 200-pound women with mustaches like Rick Briggs that smell of sour milk and fermented cheese? I mean, I want to talk about that stuff. That sounds fun, but
coming from a Minnesota Viking fan, I think you embellished a little bit, frankly.
I like certain women, Scott. I can't lie.
I think I'm close enough to Green Bay in Wisconsin to know what they're like, and I think that's a fairly accurate representation.
I think you're just embellishing and getting your digs in now while you can, young man.
That is also probably an accurate representation.
But that's good to hear. We might have to think about that, trying to find a way to get the bonus hour, get a chat room going. That probably could be a lot of fun, because we're probably not the only two cretins who think the way that we do. I mean,
get a lot of callers too. People wanting to chime in on the hilarity.
That would be a lot of fun. So that's definitely something we need to think about. So, hey, Scott, we sure do appreciate it. Let's do it again before the summer's up. And definitely, if you're still up for it, love to keep the blitz rolling in 2014.
The inside slant.
Inside slant. What's the blitz? Did
we
do a show called The Blitz?
The Blitz on Tuesday nights.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right. Yeah. We got a lot of shows right now. They all stink.
But I'm old and don't have a mind. Yet I have to keep you straight.
All right, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Good luck to the Pens and not the Avalanche, the Wild.
All right, yeah, Pens up 3-1 right now as you're listening to this, so good times here in Pittsburgh.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Scott, take it easy.
Thanks a lot. Later.
Take care.
All right, Scott Fish, at ScottFish24,
yeah,
right? Follow him on Twitter. Scott, a great guy. Good luck at Dynasty League Football. I see those guys on Twitter a lot. I'm not real familiar with their work, but I'll definitely start to keep an eye on it now that Scott's over there.
Yeah, definitely. Check it out.
All right, Rick. Well, we are flat out of time. The marathon continues here on a Wednesday night for us. I'm going to go ahead and record the bonus hour. Lots more hilarity for you there. So Rick's favorite song playing in the background. About time to get out of here.
Yeah, it's definitely my time to go. So please join us. You know, drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com. I am Briggs from Flieger and Briggs. I'm not listening to this junk, and I'm out of here. Take care.
Here comes the headphones off. Check us out at Asylum Football on Twitter. We'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Listen for the bonus hour. We'll air 8 o'clock on Friday. Thank you to RF Sports Radio for continuing to air the show until Friday and or Tuesday. We'll see you.
Take care. Get that money, honey, act like you know.